Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, Susie. Hi, groomers.
Hi, groomers, and hello, Barbara, and welcome to episode 122 of the Groom Pod, recorded on May 21st, 2017, in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to ask the all-important question, how many shampoos does Susie need? We're going to learn a little bit about squeaky clean. You can join us on Facebook at our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/thegroompod. That's where we get all of our questions and interactive topics and discussions and all of that. So you can also subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. And you can find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner, the donation button, and soon the link to sign up for our seminars, all at www.thegroompod.com. Remember to share us with all your grooming pals and support our loyal sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bbird.biz. Shop with a groomer, it's good karma. Hey Barbara, what's new?
Oh, I had a terrific thing happen this week.
I love terrific things.
Yeah, so this goes back, starts 20 years ago. So in case you've never seen my building, I have a small front space and then a whole long, 25 feet of wall side of the building. And
so kind of like an iceberg, just one quarter, one third showing, and then the whole rest is in the back.
So the whole side of the building, which is on my side of the building, is exposed to the parking lot. And 20 year, and it's all that, always that kind of space is subject to tagging.
Oh, sure. Of course.
In fact, the landlord has a, you rent it, big tin shed that he keeps his wife's antiques in, and he gets tagged often, and we were getting tagged on the side of that building. Well, three young men and a woman walked into my shop and introduced themselves, and they said that they were on a community service mission to paint murals on the sides of buildings, and could they paint them? Then they would paint a mural for me for the cost of the paint. And this was their kind of like their counselor woman was with them, and she was kind of guiding them through to do these good things because they'd gotten in trouble for painting.
Okay.
Although they never were like gang taggers, but they were painters, they were artists, they were graffiti artists.
Okay.
So I thought, heck yeah.
Absolutely.
And they told me, they assured me that if they did graffiti art on the side of my building, they wouldn't get tagged.
Cool, that's great.
So we did it. And I had three, we looked at drawing. They gave me sketches to approve. And I found a dog in an ad that I thought would be a cute one. And so I added a picture. And we did two dogs and a big cat. And that was 20 years ago. And I've always loved my mural. And it's always been, and the other thing is that my building is nearly invisible from the street because it's kind of angled funny. And so there's people that have lived there for 15 years that didn't know I was there, in the hood. And
so after 20 years, I bet in that Arizona sun, that thing has faded.
It's faded. And then I had a great big, huge prickly pear cactus grew up kind of half covering the cat. And this tagging occurred on areas where there wasn't You know, I had a sign up there that said dog and cat grooming and a couple of other lines, and they left the dog and cat grooming alone, but they squiggled through the other stuff, and I couldn't quite erase it because of what I wanted to save and blah, blah, blah. And it was starting to look old. My whole building was looking old. And the front was a kind of a cream color with turquoise trim. And the turquoise trim with the windowsills and everything, the wood is all breaking apart, and it's really looked old, and it really looked grungy. And so in walks two of those three boys last week, grown up with tattoos. One of them had prison tattoos, I'll confess. And Monty and Sketch. And I don't know what happened to their third buddy, but two of them came in, and they wanted to redo the mural.
That is so amazing.
So actually, a couple of months ago, one of them came in and wanted to touch up the mural for me and do whatever. And I just have had so much going on that I couldn't focus on it, you know. Well, Monty got added to the picture, and Monty is much more assertive. And so they agreed to paint the side of the wall and do two brand new murals. They didn't want to just redo their old work.
I understand.
Today's work.
Right.
And so I agreed, and I worked with them, and they provided me with about four sketches, and I picked out two that I really liked. And then we went to Home Depot. So I said, let's buy the paint at Home Depot. I have a credit card for that, and then I'll pay you cash for your labor. They each wanted $100 and then the paint.
That's so a bargain. Oh my God.
It's a bargain. And I went to Home Depot with them, took them there, and we looked at paint, and I actually picked out the base color, which is a dark turquoise. I wanted something that would really stand out. But I didn't want something that was just like so gross, like yellow.
Right, glaring.
Yeah, I didn't really want ugly color, but I wanted it to really pop. So, and then there was the problem with the wood trim on the door and the windows in the front is not workable. You know, the wood really needs to be replaced, and they weren't really into like refinishing the wood and painting it. So I had to find something that would work with that turquoise chipped wood. So I chose a really dark turquoise.
Perfect.
And oh my God. And they did two murals, and one of them is a really cute little poodle-y type. And I said, we got to put a bow on the poodle. The other one is kind of either a terrier or a Maltese type, and it's got a bandana. And then they retouched the third furthest one away from the front. That was my favorite of the other three.
Oh, cool.
And we put the new colored on the, oh man, and paw prints, big, huge black paw prints that go from the back to the side. I said, you need to wrap it around to the front, wrap the paw prints around to the front. And they knew exactly what I meant. And they did that. So the paw prints go around the side of the building and then around to the front door.
Oh, that's amazing.
And and they did it in like 4 hours.
Wow. Did you watch?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to. But I picked the color, and then when we were picking their spray paint, I spotted a kind of a magenta color that went perfectly. See, I am really good at matching colors. I have just a good eye for that. So I found this pinky purpley color that matched the turquoise really perfectly in tone. And I said, you got to get this to go with the back, and they've used that as outlining their drawings, and it's so smart. It is so cool. It is so urban. It is so, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it just really diminished the noticeability of the bad wood in the front. The
dark turquoise
just made your visual, the light turquoise wood, not so visible. It's like not so bad.
And cool. Well, we had this similar situation. I worked for a lady who basically was there for me when I sobered up, and I worked at her pizza place, and a graffiti artist came in one day, and so there was a double story clean cement wall, and they came in and asked if they could paint up a sign with the name of the pizzeria on it. So they did an entire wall of Shawnee's Pizzeria, and it was New York pizza, and they had a little Statue of Liberty on it, and they did it in one afternoon, and I got to watch them do it, and it was up there for years and years, long after the pizza restaurant was gone. Now there's another pizza restaurant in there, and they did paint over the wall, but man, it was amazing. It was so much fun to watch. Well, it was like watching Bob Ross, only the modern version of Bob Ross, as they painted and created this magical, beautiful thing. And we were in a very upper white middle class neighborhood, so there was no tagging happening, but it was just a beautiful piece of art. And then they took pictures of it and used it in their collective art books to sell their work elsewhere, and we only had to buy the paint.
Yeah, great. I'll get pictures of this mural before the episode goes up.
Great.
And we'll make reference to it. Yeah.
Oh, what an exciting thing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So cool. It was just like super, super cool. And I gave them each $20 tip.
Nice.
Because it was just so amazing, you know, like
art.
I couldn't do anything else than to give them a nice hefty tip, you know.
Yeah. Art. And did it, when you went to work, does it make you feel better?
Oh, it was so happy.
Isn't that neat?
The two drawings that I picked were very happy because I just wanted to be uplifting, you know.
Yes, you didn't pick a dog shaking in the corner. There's not a tiny little dog shaking. That would have been kind of funny. Big eyes wrapped in a towel over in the corner.
I don't want to be here.
Yep.
Oh. Oh. Stretched out over the tub. I don't want to be here.
No.
Oh, we didn't do any of that. No, these are just like happy little cartoon dogs.
I love it. I love that. So you are so lucky. I can't wait to see the pictures. That's going to be neat. So guess what? I'm here to tell you that there's a doodle for everybody, because I got another doodle client and it turned out to be another really good match for me.
Oh, good. Good.
Yep. And I think the dog had been shaved down everywhere. So they said, well, she always comes and does the four blade all over. And I thought, boy, that's shorter than I would like my doodle. And she said, well, we like her the way she is now. And she basically had like the green combs worth of length on her body, if I'd have fluffed out green comb. So they said, well, you know, we don't want it really short. But I said, well, how often do you want her done? And they said about every 6 weeks. No problem. I got you covered. I picked a length I knew I could maintain in 6 weeks. So I went with the yellow comb, which just took a little bit off everywhere. You know, I went with the yellow wall comb with the clipper back.
Right. That's a decent doodle comb for a short doodle. I did one in the yellow this week. Yes.
The problem was there wasn't really enough hair for me to curl it back up with that. I mean, I tried. Like, I spritzed her down and I let her go in a little bit damp. And I said, I'm hoping this is going to, you know, help with it looking too fluffy. And they loved it. The dog had no head at all. So I left a little bit on top and I left it jowly underneath. And I took the sides a little bit shorter so that the lack of hair down here looked a little bit fuller. Same with the top. And I blended it in and he had nice ears. And the dog was delightful. 3 years old. I think I got one for life.
Great. Good job, Susie. Doodle success for Susie Scott. Yes,
doodle success. It does happen. It can happen. I'm here to say you just got to pick the right ones. So
I had a bit of a doodle related event.
Do tell.
This this was funny. This was fun too. Fun stuff happens to me. So I got a message online a few weeks ago from a former client of mine who had a Yorkie named Comet that we kept. We worked together. We kept her in full coat. And I was the only groomer she could find that was real comfortable working with the full coat. And we worked on Little Comet for at least 3 years together. And then she moved to Colorado. And so she's texting me that she's coming to Tucson on Wednesday next. And could she stop by for a chat? And I said, oh, of course, I'd love to see you and blah, blah, blah. So she comes in. Well, it turns out that she's got a doodle.
Oh.
Little Comet died, and we talked about that and hugged and blah, blah, blah. Well, she replaced Little Comet that she used to home groom in Colorado with a doodle, a authentic Australian cobble dog or whatever they're called over there, you know?
Yeah.
And $3,000 doodle dog. And she wants to do it herself because all the groomers around her are so full. You can never get in. And then when you do get in, they want to shave the dog down. So I said, okay. She wanted some help picking tools and products. So, you know, I sold her a wide tooth poodle comb. I sold her a couple of things. I sold about $50 worth of stuff. And then I made some recommendations and wrote some stuff down. She needs a dryer. She needs a table. Da, 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 da. And she's, oh, plus she's getting a second one. You know, like, good luck.
this lady has no other job, right? It's just going to be maintaining these doodles.
She's going to be... I'm a full-time groomer. I said, you know, like, don't invest in expensive shears. Get going, because they might find their way to the drawer. You know, anyway, I helped her as much as I could. And she's thanked me and gave me a, like, $20 tip for my time and said... She was so grateful because she could trust me, Susie.
Oh, that makes you feel good.
Oh, God, it just did my heart. Oh,
yay. It's good to get those strokes.
You know, like, oh, man, after all these years, she, you know, sought me out for advice. You know?
Doodle guidance.
So I am now in the business of doodle guidance, you bet.
Yes. For me and others.
Yeah.
This 3-year-old doodle is a doodle doodle. It's a doodle from doodles.
Doodle from doodles. Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
No, eventually it's going to become a purebred. Eventually there will be a doodle that's a breed. It's just going to happen because we are right in the beginning of the evolution, but this has happened over and over again in history where breeds have been crossed to form a new breed. It just takes so long that you can't see ahead to that.
Right. Well, the dog was delightful.
Because they can be delightful, informal kind of pets that want to please, you know. And
I knew I was in a good house because she made the dog do a sit and wait for the door to open and wait for her to be released before she said hello. I was like, oh, yeah, I think I like these people. They have control of their dog.
I went to bed thinking about how am I going to train Marco to do that.
You can do it, but it just takes time.
I know. Hello.
There goes the problem.
Yeah. So what do I give up? Yes, so I had to give up my naps.
Yes. So the other interesting thing that happened to me yesterday was I did an unknown cat which, you know, it, I have these clients for so long and their friend says, oh, I have a cat that needs to be shaved. And they asked me if I can fit it in on the end of their dogs. And I thought, yeah, sure. Why not? I said, I asked all the pertinent questions. Has the cat been done before? They are Hispanic. I don't speak Spanish. The daughter speaks okay English, but some of the rest of the family, not as well. So I said, has the cat been done before through text? And she said, yes, it has. Well, it turns out that it hasn't been done before ever. And it had massive, gigantic mats that were pulling away from the skin. And it was extremely uncomfortable. And the nails were razor sharp and curled around and just brutal. And I took the cat out and started shaving on the mats. And it did pretty well for a little while. Oh, no. Take it back. I started with the nails and I got all the nails on one foot and then I got part of the way into the nails on the other foot and one of those razor sharp nails went into my middle finger and out like an upholstery needle, in and out. And I had the cat attached to my finger and I didn't know whether to rip it out, but she retracted her claw and it came out. So I have two puncture wounds, one going in, one going out on my finger. And it instantly, it didn't bleed. It just like closed up. So I swelled up with blood and I kept having to squeeze it.
Open it back up. Boy, I just don't do the nails first.
You know, if I
already know, unless I already have a relationship with the cat, and it goes for dogs too. I just think that it's too confrontational for the animal to introduce yourself and restrict their paws and cut their nails. And that's the only thing that I have against offering a walk-in nail clipping service. I don't mind it so much in the dogs that come all the time. We know each other. But that first initial time when I just become the clipper person, it's I just don't recommend it.
Well, I've got to say, her other hand hit me that I had already clipped. And you can see that's all that happened with the clipped hand.
Yeah.
So if she'd have had claws on that other hand and I'd have just been trying to clip her chest and she'd have gotten me with both of them, it would have been a lot worse than just one nail from one finger through my finger. So I still will clip those nails first on a cat. I don't with the dogs. It's almost always after the bath with the dogs. But with the cats, I need to get those weapons off of there. So
I guess we all have to agree to disagree.
We will. And I'm okay with that. Because So anyway, I really quickly, and I was dripping a little bit of blood, but not enough. But I had to finish the cat first. And it was a no bath situation. So I just.
But you don't have the gauntlets or the gloves?
I've never used gloves. Never. But I've kung fu gripped the cat. So I've got the cat by the scruff and the cat has asthma and it's warm out for the first time in like, well, I don't know, 10 months. Warm here. And I've got the cat and I'm shaving off these gigantic solid. I mean, I was so grateful. I was able to get all of the mats off. I was able to do the cat's belly. I was not able to do under his chin, but there weren't any mats up there. But I couldn't get back in there because of that other hand still had all of its nails left on it. And I just wasn't going to risk that again. So the haircut looked awful, but the cat will be comfortable. And I was able to get the money and tell them I wasn't going to do the cat again. But that
money and run.
Yeah, a cat with asthma is not a good candidate to be done in a vehicle in front of a house. That's a cat that should be done at a veterinary groomer, in my opinion, just because of the asthma thing. And I didn't realize the cat was not young. You know, there was a little communication gap going on between the people who owned the dogs, the person who owned the cat, and my texting. So I think by the time I brought the cat in, she said, well, the cat had never been done before. Like, well, I would have never offered to do the cat if I'd have thought it hadn't been done before. I will never do cats that have not been groomed before in the trailer. So that was a learning experience. So you were saying you've been pretty busy, huh? What are you up to? Got something going on?
Oh, well, yes, we have our webinar coming up.
Do tell.
Oh, yes, do tell. promoted by none other than the Groom Pod.
Yay!
With my best bud, and I now call you my co-conspirator.
Okay, I'm good with sidekick. I like sidekick.
Sidekick and co-conspirator.
Co-conspirator, that's like a raise. I got a raise. All right.
That's like a part of the decision-making team. Yes. Oh, yeah. We're real excited about the coat damage webinar on June the 4th. It's one of my favorite presentations, and I'm just we're having a good response to it, and I'm really psyched. And, it's just wonderful to have a little money in that PayPal.
Yay. So the deal is, you guys, you have to go to Barbara's shopping site to sign up for the webinar. And it's at www.shop.bieber.biz. And if you're like, oh, I don't know, a few of the other people, including myself, there's other stuff on that shopping cart that's worth taking a look at. I got pink hoodies. I love them. Thank you, Barbara. Just because I was there checking out the webinar stuff. So, you know, if you feel the need to do a little shopping, go for it.
A couple of people have bought things. We've bought, somebody bought the detailing scissors. I just got to tell you, I got a new supply of the little 5.5-inch detailers that nobody else carries this scissor. I mean, not only is it a 5.5-inch curved, but it's a bevel edge micro serrated. And all the convex blades, when you're doing that little kind of detailing work, they tend to push the hair. And it's not as crisp and clean as these little bevel edge scissors. So I was real excited that somebody bought that. And somebody else bought a bottle of Lisa Leedy's Magic Hair Ear Elixir. And
crap, I could have gotten that on there too. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And you know what happened is that they ordered an 8-ounce. I have it in 8-ounce and 16-ounce bottles. I have the darndest time keeping both sizes in stock. Right now, I've got all 16-ounce sizes, and somebody ordered Linda Trader. Thank you, Linda.
Yay, Linda
ordered 8 ounces. Well, guess what she got?
She got 16.
Yep.
Wow.
The hit.
Excellent.
You know, like my fault, I've ordered a case of the smaller bottles, and we'll have them in stock soon. But Lisa Levy is out of town right now. So as soon as she gets back and gets on the ball, we'll have the small size. But I wanted to act promptly and everything, and I have these 16-ounce bottles. So I said, what the heck?
Excellent. Besides, Linda's a good supporter of the show.
Well, right, exactly.
Thank you, Linda.
She's been a good participant, and we appreciate that. We appreciate your input on the Facebook page. We appreciate questions. We just love that you're participating with us and creating the Groom Pod. And I'm delighted to be able to bring you this in-depth and very visual presentation on coat damage and how it happens and how we can minimize it.
Cool. I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to be part of it. It's fun. And I hope all of you guys sign up for it. Also, before I forget, yesterday I finally got the opportunity to use the marshmallow dematting stuff that Sun Young had sent me. And I have to say, I'm not such a huge fan of its dematting properties. I mean, it did okay. It wasn't my favorite. I'm still probably going to stick with my silicone. But the smell of that stuff is out of this world. I'm going to use it on everybody because I loved the way it smelled. It smells like marshmallow. I mean, I could take a puff at it myself.
I have figured out that you, Susie Scott, you love sugary smells.
I love sugar.
That's it. I know. And it shows up in your fragrance preferences.
Oh, yes. I'm sure it does.
I know. Yep. You love sugar cookie, and you love all the, you love sugary.
Sugar or fruity, even though I don't ever eat any fruit, but I love fruity smells. I eat fruit flavored candy. You know, that's close.
Yeah, that's close. Okay.
Well, let's just, we've been chatting like forever. So let's take a minute to hear from Best Shot, and then we'll go over to our first appointment, which is really self-serving for me. How many shampoos do I actually need? You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. So there was a question on Facebook the other day about choosing the best shampoo, and I got out there into my grooming trailer and I looked around and I thought, as we were talking about choosing the best of last week, there is no best shampoo. I have to have like 14 different shampoos because I'm not happy with just one. There's too many variables, just like we were talking about. So I thought, what are the really essential shampoos that we need to have? And yes, you just hit on it a moment ago. I'm totally into the way they smell. A lot of the Germans, what works for me is the smell of the product. And that, you know, just seems to, as I was assembling my list of things that I really like to use, I noticed there's a line of fragrance that ties everything together. And you're probably right, it's sugary sweet. So I thought today, since people are always asking what we like and what we don't like, that we would go for the what we like in shampoos. And I'm going to start with the general deep cleaning shampoo. So for me, my first grab for a general deep cleaning shampoo, now this is a dog that's been rolling in the dirt but doesn't stink. You know, it's just maybe muddy, dirty feet, dingy coat, that kind of thing. So I often go to Griminator from Double K or Best Shot One or Aloe Premium from Nature Specialty. Now, I will fully disclose I use a lot of Nature Specialty. They don't give us the ingredients. We're not a fan of them not giving the ingredients, but doggone it, they smell really good and they function.
Why did I write a book called Beyond?
They have to work first. I mean, for me, it's got to work first. And then secondly.
I'm going to admit that I like fragrances. I mean, I am an aromatherapist. Aroma is my middle name.
Good point.
And I buy a lot of synthetic fragrance oils just to smell them and to see if maybe I'll use them in a cosmetic, because sometimes I make up little bath salts and stuff like that. And I love to play with fragrances, but when I'm purchasing pet products, I am not guided quite so much by the fragrance. Although I'm going to confess that we are going to buy another bottle of Proline Fair Advantage off Chris Christensen's site. It's a conditioning shampoo that has great conditioning value and a terrific smell.
Okay, so you do a little bit. Something that's important to me is that if I'm using particular shampoos from a line of products, that each one of those shampoos behaves differently. Like I can tell they're differently related. So I do pay a lot of attention to how they work and how they function. A kick me over the edge one way or the other is going to be the fragrance. So there is the property of the shampoo is important to me. And I have learned from you, and I learned what I can tell by using it in the products and, you know, basically what I can feel with my hands, which we'll talk a little bit about that later. So what do you use for general deep cleaning shampoo? When Yvonne is going to grab just an all-purpose shampoo, what is it she grabs?
Usually it's either Show Season Texture, which is kind of a clarifying shampoo because it doesn't have much else in it, or Show Season Down and Dirty.
Oh, I like that. That's always a good choice.
Yeah. And lately, we've been using as just an all-purpose, not necessarily super filthy dog shampoo, but just all around, we've been using it on a lot of our dogs, is the Show Season Bright and no conditioner.
Interesting.
It doesn't really have a conditioning agent that I can tell, but the brightener, I think, has some conditioning value because I can use that on many of my scissored dogs and get a really nice, you know, when I scissor a Bichon, I want that coat to be spongy. Yeah, I want it to scissor well. And the bright is just giving us great results.
And do you use that as your whitening shampoo as well?
No, for my whitening shampoo, well, it will, and it does. But if I'm getting super serious about whitening, I have a equine product that I use. It's called Quick Color from Exhibitors Best. I get it in the at KV Vet or KVPet.com, and it's a horse product that has so much purple in it that it works through the bathing beauty.
Nice.
Because the problem with Chris Christensen White on White, which is an excellent whitener shampoo and has a lot of pigment, is that you need to use it direct, straight, concentrated out of the bottle. And then you got all that rinsing and everything to do. So I prefer to be able to just do another bath with a squirt of this horse shampoo. And it turns out, when I was working for Chris Christensen, I learned that the man who formulated his White on White is the same cosmetic chemist that formulated the Quick Color.
It's a small world, isn't it?
Isn't it? So no wonder I told him, I said, confession, Chris, I like this horse product. He said, oh, well, guess what? Same made it, you know?
Yes.
So that's interesting. I love that stuff.
So for a whitening shampoo for me, I stick with Double K again. It's kind of formulated like Ryminator and Ultimate. They're kind of three of the same. And I know they don't put their ingredients on, and that's really frustrating. I know you don't.
I really won't use Nature's Recipe.
Nature's Specialty. I know it.
Specialty, because they both of them, not only do they not disclose, but they got an attitude.
Yeah, and they put fake ingredients up there, and I know that. But I like the way the shampoos work, and I have to draw a line for me ethically. I don't appreciate that they don't put that stuff in there, but I have to choose something that Michael at Cascade Grooming Supplies sells because I want to support him. So he sells Show Season, but Sandy does not do a really good job of keeping him in product. So oftentimes when I go in to get Show Season product, it's not there. So that's an issue. There's a lot of Best Shot there. So I gravitate towards that. But they don't really have a whitening shampoo. So I'm kind of stuck. And the Nature Specialty I get almost entirely exclusively because of Plum Silky. And if it wasn't for Plum Silky, I probably wouldn't buy anything in their line. But their colognes, the smells of their colognes stick. They stay like days later, and you can layer them really well, and it has a really good holding for whatever reason they hold.
For chemical reasons.
Yes. It's the signature for my shop. That Plum Silky is the signature. It's what people think of when they smell my dogs. And I chose that long before I ever knew anything about products. Not to stand here and defend it because they're a poopy doo-doo company and I don't like them, but I can't live without that shampoo. So I'm stuck.
Well, I had a moment like that with Esprit Doggone Good. Esprit Doggone Good is a conditioning shampoo. And there are times where a conditioning shampoo is the perfect choice, especially if you're scissoring, because the more you do an after bath, either a rinse through or a leave-in conditioner, it softens the hair and causes it to drop and not have that body that you need for good scissoring. So And again, I loved the fragrance of the Esprit Doggone Good, but they're iffy and tricky about their ingredients. And I just, every time I would purchase it, I would have a conflict within. And I'm in a somewhat different position that you are, because I'm out there with the Angry Bird logo, you know, bitching about shampoo ingredient disclosure, and I really am more obliged to walk my talk.
Yes, and I am disclosing that I'm not walking your talk all the time, because I'm walking the Support Michael talk. So, and the Nature Specialty is I'm hooked. It's like there's a drug in that smell for me. I love it. I bathe myself in it. It's my cologne too. Oh my God. I need help.
Banging my head against the wall, folks, in case you can't see me.
Yes, the monitor's shaking as she's hitting her head. So the conditioning shampoo that I use the most is Plum Silky. Okay, let's just get that over with. What do you use for conditioning shampoo, Barbara?
Oh, I already told you. I use the Proline Fair Advantage.
Oh, yeah. I was awake. I was paying attention. See, now I've been scolding in the corner, so I'm not thinking straight. Okay, moving on to a clarifying shampoo. What's your clarifying shampoo of choice? Mine is Clarify from Show Season.
I like Clarify from Show Season, and I like Chris Christensen Clean Start.
Oh, I do. I've used Clean Start, but I don't. And Michael carries Clean Start, but I don't love the way it smells.
Well, it doesn't really have, yeah, you know, and so.
It's lacking in smell.
I have a lot of customers that don't want too much smell on their dog. They, you know, like, I like to cuddle with my dogs after a shampoo and have them smell good, but my dog does not need to be an air refresher for the room. Which happened one time when I was mixing my own fragrance, and I overmixed. I was doing it, adding fragrance oils to shampoos or something, and I groomed these two dogs. Fortunately, these two dogs. Well, it was an unfortunate situation. Their owner had died and they were still in the home, but the daughter or whatever was taking care of them in absentia. And She brought them in for grooming, and I shampooed them in this. They were like walking room fresheners, you know, and it was too much.
Yes.
I have people. So what do you use for a hypo?
Truly Tearless from Show Season.
That's my choice too. Truly
Tearless. I love the way it cleans.
And I think Truly Tearless is one of the best non-sulfate shampoos out there with and hypo. It's hypo in that it doesn't contain a fragrance that's noticeable. And then I use it along with Show Season Hypo Conditioner. Which is a wonderful conditioner on its own, but it has no fragrance. And there are just a handful of people that want nothing. They're allergic. Some people are highly sensitive to fragrances.
Yep, I've got big letters across the top of my page. No smells. Right. Yep, highlighted, because I never want to make those mistakes for those people, because it's miserable. You can't quite bathe it off. You think you can bathe it off, but it doesn't quite get out of there.
Oh, and I'm telling you, those fragrance extenders are all phthalate and phthalates, which are kind of questionable ingredients.
As we heard last week.
And they're chemicals.
Yep. What about a really stinky dog? What do you use for a really stinky dog? I use Best Shot One. I love the neutralizer that's in there. It's some kind of an enzymatic. It's magical, and it just works.
That has been the best one that's come across my tub, is the Best Shot One.
Yep. What about de-shedding?
Well, de-shedding, I pretty much rely on my conditioners, not so much my shampoo, because the de-shedding isn't so much a function of the shampoo. It can be. It would be a heavy conditioning shampoo followed by a conditioner. You just really want to soften the hair, especially you want to soften the grip of the skin on the hair. And so you want to soften the skin.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I think that's the most clear way I've ever stated it. You want to soften the skin so that the skin releases those hairs that are just like hanging on by a wish and a promise.
I like that. That's a good visual.
Yeah.
I have to write that down. I use Best Shot Ultramax. It's the whole full three-step system, so the conditioner's in there too. But that is my go-to. If it's a really bad shedder, that's the one I grab. Secondly, I grab the Best Shot One because it's a good releaser too. I just love those products. They just eject the hair for me.
Medicated.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody needs a medicated.
Yeah, and I need three, apparently. I like to have an oatmeal shampoo, and I'm not even sure why I like to have an oatmeal shampoo, but oftentimes people will request that I use an oatmeal shampoo. So I use an oatmeal that's made by Show Seasons, just straight up called oatmeal. And
Show Seasons is pretty straight up about their names.
Sandy is not fluffy.
Sandy is not fluffy. She just wants something that clearly identifies the function of the shampoo.
And then I need a chlorhexidine shampoo. So I use either Best Shot MED with chlorhexidine or the one from Show Season, depending on the conditioning level I need to go along with it.
I use the Show Season Soothe. And Soothe has a conditioner, an accompanying conditioner now. So I use that. I have used Show Season Soothe for years, and it's also an alternative way of freshening your bathing beauty.
Oh.
Hey, by the way, because we ran out of vinegar this week. So Yvonne was saying, oh, what do I do? What do I do? I said, well, there's two things you can do to acidify and to clean your bathing beauty. You can run some Soothe through it for a couple of minutes, or you can run some Results Rinse through for a couple of minutes, because Results Rinse is almost the same acidity as white vinegar.
And that's what I do.
Yeah.
So I just make sure my last bath has a Results Rinse.
Yeah.
And it works.
You'll have a fresh bathing beauty in the morning. So just to explain to people who don't know what the heck we're talking about, the bathing beauty is a pump system, an immersible pump that you put in the tub. So what happens after the last bath is that the pump is primed with like a quarter of a cup of the last solution that you used stays in the bottom of the pump. And when you leave it overnight, if that's just a regular shampoo, it has the possibility of going bad and having bacterial contamination, which makes it smell real sour.
Yucky.
You can always tell that you've done that when the first water that goes through the bathing beauty stinks. So in order to avoid contaminated water or solution in the pump, you run, some vinegar water through it, and the vinegar is highly acidic and does not allow bacteria to multiply in the primed water of the pump. Or you can use Results Rinse, which is also very acidic, or you can use Soothe, which is antimicrobial.
I love it. Those are tips that you just can't get anywhere else but the Groom Pod, folks. Okay, so speaking of getting a cat nail through the finger, what do you use for cats?
You know, I don't bathe cats.
Okay.
So that's that. No, okay. You know what? I'm phasing out cat grooming. I am phasing out cat grooming. I took the cat picture off the mural.
Oh, yeah?
No cat out there anymore. I like that cat, but I have enjoyed 30 years of cat grooming, but I've just decided there's mobile cat groomers in town. There's other people, the whole cat grooming thing. I'm not the only one that's doing it, although I may be one of the few people that works with the cat owner at the table because that's what has worked for me. I'm going to continue to do those customers and those cats that I've done that are just so easy, and you know, rarely do they need a bath after a shave down, and I can dry clean the rough and the paws and send them home. It's a 20-minute job. I get $65, but I just reached a point, Susie, where I don't wanna.
Also, I think it's pretty hard on hands.
I think it's pretty hard on hands. And, you know, doing new cats is kind of anxiety creating because you just don't know what you're going to get. And I just don't want to live in that.
I use that Truly Tearless from Show Season for the cats.
Have you ever used Results Rinse on cats?
I have not, usually because I don't want to drain my tub and fill it back up again. I got nothing to do with the cat. You know, I'm holding it there.
Oh, I hear what you mean. Well, I've used Results Rinse on cats with a wonderful result. It has an extra clarifying action, you know, so it just like strips any existing red. Cats have more sebum they have more hair follicles per inch anyway. And they just tend to have a greasier coat. And the Results Rinse leaves the coat light and fluffy and really nice. And it has that little bit of anti-static detangling action. And in my cat bathing experiences, I've loved using that.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah,
I think I will. Okay, what about puppies?
Puppies. I always have one sulfate-free, ultra-mild shampoo on hand. One that has mostly like decyl glucoside or any of those sugar surfactants. I have one of those kinds of shampoos on hand, and I will use that for puppies as well as super sensitive dogs.
This is the category in which I rotate most of all. I don't really have anything I love. I just kind of rotate through. When I'm at Cascade, I pick something out off the shelf in a little bottle because I just don't go through that much. So, you know, that's one of those things where I don't have a favorite puppy / kitten baby shampoo in particular, but I choose one out of the lines that are available when I'm there right before puppy and kitten.
You know, your Show Season Tearless would fall in that category.
Okay. That's a good idea. I probably would lean towards that. How about the flea question? Do you have anything special for fleas?
Let me think. Well, first of all, fleas are not a common thing for me. And so I tend to go with grime time.
Oh, I love grime time.
Okay, so grime time is almost 100% sodium lauryl sulfate. And sodium lauryl sulfate is a pesticide.
Oh, well, now I know.
I mean, that just one of the horrible other uses. I mean, not only is it used to clean ocean decks, but and garages, but it's used agriculturally as a pesticide. And sodium lauryl sulfate, it will compromise the exoskeleton of the parasite and cause it to die.
And it's kind of foamy. So defecate too.
Yeah, but I don't know whether fleas really breathe. They don't got lungs. It is high sudsing, so if that's your belief, you can have it. But my belief is that fleas and ticks die from damaging and softening their exoskeleton. They don't have an internal skeleton. Their skeleton is on the outside. It's their protection. It's what protects their internal parts. And when it's compromised, they can't survive. So I use Grime Time and it's in a way... It's less, now it can be irritating, but you know, I use it so much as a degreaser and a extra dirty feet cleaner and that kind of stuff that I'm pretty comfortable with Grime Time. I think it's pretty well balanced and it just will kill the fleas.
So up here it's cold enough so that it's a solid most of the year?
Oh, ha ha ha, yeah.
Well, I love digging into it.
Pure Pet degreaser is also almost 100% sodium lauryl sulfate, and that's a property of sodium lauryl sulfate, is that it solidifies at a certain temperature.
And then out comes summer, and for like 3 months out of the year, it's closer to liquid. It never really quite gets to liquid here, but it gets closer to liquid. Areas of it might get liquidy.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that I have against Grime Time is that it's in a jar, and it has to be in a jar. But anytime you're dipping your fingers in, you're increasing the likelihood of microbial crap. But the truth is, most microbes can't exist in 100% sodium lauryl sulfate.
Yes. No. So, I imagine I'm probably okay.
Yeah, I imagine you're probably okay. But it is good to use clean hands and keep cleaning the lid to the jar and clean it around the edge of the jar before you put the lid back on. Give it just a swipe around so that you're not building up gunk around the lid, because that's where you can get some mold or something happening. I don't really like jar things. I was very happy when Chris Christensen went from his gel in a jar to his gel is in a tube.
Oh yeah, okay.
Tubes don't allow for the hands to go in. You know, water, even just water on your hands, can have microbial crap on them that you're entering into the solution in the jar. So it's I'm kind of anti-jar.
Okay. I'm pro squishing your hand in the stuff in the jar, but I understand the anti-jar sentiment, and I will continue to keep my hands very clean when I do that.
Yeah, you can do that if you have clean hands.
Okay, cool. One last thing that we didn't talk about, and that is face wash. And for me, there's only one face wash that I generally use. I haven't gotten my hands on the South Park Pet Foam yet, but I do use the Show Season FaceTime foaming face wash as my face wash shampoo almost entirely.
I love the new foaming face wash from South Park. And guess why I love it?
Because it smells good.
Right. Oh, it's all a hypocrite bird. Chill out, Susie, for liking scents over anything else, and here I choose at least two of my products because I like the scent.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm okay with you exactly how you are. Well,
I kind of rotate through foaming products, and so this is the Show Season Easy Self Rinse Plus. It's a no rinse shampoo plus whitener. And I use it in a foamer, my own foamer. It has a sort of a plum fragrance.
Nice.
You would like it. And
so you just put that in a foamer and do it yourself?
I dilute it a little bit in a foamer because foamers work best when the solution is diluted. And this is why this is how they make a lot of money on those foamers, on those foaming face products, because It's like my roll-on aromatherapy. You know, you only need a little bit of the active stuff. But I just love a foaming product for the face because you can work it with your thumbs around, you know, and you don't have a lot of lather that has a chance of getting in their eyes. You can direct it real well.
Yeah, I love it too.
And in this case, because it's a no-rinse shampoo already, if the dog is struggling about water in its face, which some do, this is a really good choice because if you don't get it rinsed too well, it's no deal.
Same with the FaceTime face wash. It's, you don't have to rinse it. So that's another reason to use it. I think, about the flea thing, I wanted to mention that the Quadruped flea shampoo did work really well.
Oh, yeah, so, right. Let's not forget to plug the Quadruped flea product because it does work well.
And it's pretty natural as far as it's, not a pesticide type of an ingredient.
Yeah, and it's the yucca, and the yucca does the same thing. It softens the exoskeleton of the parasite, of the flea or tick.
So, yeah. Yep. So if I was going to do a flea shampoo, if I was going to buy an actual flea shampoo, that would be the one I would search out and get.
Me too.
Cool. Okay. Well, we've burnt up the better part of an hour. So let's hear from South Bark Professional Pet Products, the provider of that fabulous pet foam. And then we'll get to our definition du jour, which is squeaky clean. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. The definition du jour. All right, Barbara, tell us about squeaky clean. I love the feeling of squeaky clean in my own hair. It's what I always have looked for. Is it really squeaky clean? Did I really get it clean? What actually are we feeling there?
Okay, so I did find somebody making a statement about what causes the squeak.
Yeah, what causes the squeak?
Okay, so for one thing, you removed everything.
Oh.
You know, like, so you've removed any buildup of conditioners or proteins or sebum. And this is what this person said. One expert states that, I quote, When your hair is washed and you run your fingers through it, the friction between your fingers and the hair will make the hair vibrate as if you were running your finger down a violin string.
Interesting.
I don't know. I only found that one reference to that. I don't know if I buy it or not.
The thing that makes that work, the vibrations, you'd think you would feel it in your head. And I don't feel vibrations vibrating through the roots of my hair into my brain pan when I feel my squeaky hair. That's my only dispute on that.
Let me read a few more things, okay?
Okay.
The beauty brains, who I totally look up to. The beauty brain says, squeaky clean is a signal that there's no residue left on your hair, which is a good thing from the perspective of maximizing body and volume. However, when left unconditioned, squeaky clean hair is more prone to damage because nothing has been done to smooth the cuticle. A raised cuticle results in increased friction, which can lead to more damage. Another little reference to friction. So if the squeak is caused by the friction, friction is our enemy of hair.
Right, right.
It really is the hidden enemy. Friction. Wait till you hear me talk about it in the coat damage webinar on Sunday, June the 4th.
Sign up at www.shop.bieber.biz.
And Sally Beauty, in their question, their Q&A, Sally Beauty says, a squeaky clean feel usually indicates that oils have been removed from the hair. However, it may also indicate a raised hair cuticle. Rely on a thorough rinsing rather than that squeaky clean feeling. So I ran into several references to that squeaky clean was not necessarily the goal. He meant that you have over stripped your hair.
Well, I'm all about putting it back in with the conditioner, though. Like, I never go to squeaky clean and then don't put something on afterwards.
Well, good.
Okay, so I'm still okay because that is my benchmark. I'm always trying to get, because, I don't wash my hair that often.
I know, but we also look at your hair and you have a lot of damage.
Yes, that's mostly the roller coasters and the ponytail holder.
but just saying, up here you do. You see?
Mostly that's breakage from the ponytail holder because I put it in, wrap it really tight, and leave it there all day. And then all these hairs break off.
Not very kind to your hair.
No,
so,
I'm not.
I mean, I just found a lot of references, and who knows, on the internet, sometimes one person says it, and then but a lot of companies are saying that squeaky clean means that the hair has been overwashed.
Okay, fine.
Yes. Wow, we're having a rough day of it here today.
I'm in trouble all over the place. Okay. So does that mean using my old-timey Prel shampoo that gets it squeaky clean? I rotate. I use something else in between.
Yeah, old-timey Prel shampoo. It could be kind of a clarifying shampoo. See, it means the hair has been completely clarified. It's been completely stripped of any residue, including the natural oils. Well, then the whole thing about what is the danger, what is the risk of sulfates, is that they strip the hair too much. And so here we are wanting that effect.
Yeah, okay.
Just saying, honey, just saying.
I know.
So then Hi Roseman, our listener in Phoenix, has raised the question of if a lot of suds isn't good, is not a good indicator of good cleaning, and squeaky clean isn't a good indicator of cleaning, how can we tell that a coat is clean?
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
I tell by looking and feeling, and I certainly look for clear rinse water. When the rinse water becomes clear, rinsed off the dog,
Right. And I have to say, like with a Havanese or a Maltese, I would never look for squeaky clean necessarily. I would look for softer clean, but not necessarily sweet. I don't know. I'm relaying all this to my own hair. Maybe it's not, maybe I don't apply it to the dogs as much.
I think it's misinformation. I think that it's a fallacy. It's a long held belief that has no current backup.
Okay.
I think that squeaky clean is an indication that, I mean, it's not that you never want it, but I think if it's an indication of a raised cuticle, a stripped hair, and that it certainly is a signal that some conditioning is necessary. And I think that you can rely on, you certainly can rely on your sense of touch for clean hair without having to run your hair through your fingers through the hair to see if it squeaks. Because if it feels gritty, if it feels, I don't know, I think my hands, I can pretty much tell. Plus you look for, is it grayish? Is it, you know, is it
white? Is it sparkly? Is it
right? Is the color right? And what does the rinse water look like? And, you know,
all right. No more squeaking.
And the sure sign that it's not clean is when something comes off in the towel.
Right.
I had a bather that was so quick. Went on to own his own salon. So quick that I was amazed. But you know what? We had dirty towels all the time. So that's just a sure sign. If you get a dirty towel, the dog's got to go back in the tub, you know. And there hasn't been a bather yet that I haven't had to return a dog or two to get them to find themselves being able to identify when the hair is clean.
Very true.
And it's, you know, you can't be, it's, there he is. That's it.
All right.
Use your eyes and use your feel, but you don't necessarily have to get it to squeak. You just want it to be light and
clean. Clean. Okay. I'm no more squeaking. I'll just go with feeling. I can feel it. I don't need to squeak it. I only squeak my own hair. I for sure only squeak my own hair. I'm not squeaking dog hair. So I'll just stop the squeaking.
Okay, so do you want to end the thing with hearing about a little angry bird thing I found while I was looking around today?
Sounds perfect.
So I read this article about do's and don'ts of washing hair, and one of the do's, it reads like this. Do make sure your hair is really wet before washing. It'll give you a better clean and help your shampoo and conditioner penetrate your hair shaft.
Again, with the penetrating the hair shaft.
That's it. You nailed it right away. You heard it. It jumped out at you.
Now, yep, it did.
You know, a year or two ago, that would not have jumped out at you.
It sure wouldn't.
Say you've been educated by the bird.
Indeed, I have.
Now you know that the shampoo and the conditioner, well, now maybe the conditioner might a little bit, but you know, the water is not going to help your shampoo penetrate your hair shaft.
No, but it does help your shampoo spread throughout the hair.
Yes, that's true. Yes. I know. Yeah, and certainly when you are hand bathing, you need to be sure that dog is totally wet, especially if you're using a color correcting agent.
That makes sense.
We had a pink Samoyed.
That's bad.
it was a Laube red white. Who would think that red would make white? It was a Laube red white, and we were hand bathing at those times, and the bather just didn't get the undercoat on the thighs, you know, where that's where it's all thick and everything. She did not get the undercoat on the thighs wet, and it took the red
and sucked it right up.
So I'm in the other room finishing the dog or something, and I say, Barbara! It's always the bad side. Barbara, you need to look at this. And she said, I've been rinsing for 10 minutes, and it's not coming. I re-bathed it, and it's not coming out. And I said, honey, it's there.
Yep. Just call it a healthy pink glow.
Yeah, well, I'll knock some money off the price. And
fine. Oh, goodness. Okay, so let's wrap it up this week on the Groom Pod. It's been delightful, Barbara. I'm going to go out and enjoy some sunshine. What are you doing today?
All right. I'm going to work some more on getting the word out for the Groom Pod webinar.
Yes, everybody sign up at shop.bieber.biz. Meet us here next week for more fun and games and happy grooming, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.